praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord and King, how we adore you and praise you. Father, with all our hearts, we just worship you. You're so worthy of all our praise.
Yes.
Father, we're so thankful for the grace and the mercy that you've shown to us. Father, that you, all your mercy is nothing we've done or deserved. And Lord, we have an opportunity tonight, Lord, to show you our appreciation.
Yes.
My Lord, as you bring your word and you reveal it to us, Father, if we live by it, Lord Jesus, that'll be showing how much we love you.
Yes.
Bless us now, each and every one that's come, Lord. Pray that you would just feed them what they have need of, their portion that you foresee. And we look to you now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, page 231 in our Only Believe books. Hallelujah. Is my Lord satisfied? Praise his name.
One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely then satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark troubles, stormy sea, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan.
Amen.
I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied?
Oh, hallelujah.
I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me.
Amen. Do you want him to be satisfied with you?
Yes.
Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. Page 7, the same book, sir. When the redeemed, I'm thinking of a rapture. You think about it more and more every day.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank about it. When the redeemed are gathering in, amen. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, worse like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city, oh, hallelujah, when the redeemed are gathering in. Yes, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, amen. Oh, worse like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Saints will sing redemption stories with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed, oh, hallelujah, think about it. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, worse like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, the last one. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet bowl. When the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed, amen, are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, worse like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the
thinking of the rapture. Oh, yes. What joyous thoughts, saints. Praise his holy name. In our capstone books, praise his name. Page 96. What a happy day that's going to be.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be a glorious day.
Yes.
Day for shouting. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. Jesus coming after me. I hear him calling me away from this old world forever to stay. And when he takes me by the hand in that blessed promised land, what a happy time that sure to be. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what a happy day that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, if we climb those golden stairs, we'll meet with those who've gone before. James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that sure to be. Oh, what a happy day. And when I walk into heaven's fair, see my blessed Savior there. He'll place a crown upon my head, give me a robe of white to wear. I'll walk on streets of purest gold, live forever, amen. Shout and sing to the endless ages, oh, praise his name. Oh, what a happy day, oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll meet with those who've gone before, James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that's sure to be. What a happy day. Amen. Yeah. Saints, it's going to be a wonderful day.
Amen.
Oh, the joy and the peace, the pressure gone. Amen. Just his love and grace throughout eternity.
Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Jesus. That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. Where would I be without Jesus?
Where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me, where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world, oh, hallelujah. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be?
Amen. How many have something on your heart you'd like to take before him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Pitts, would you like to take the request tonight?
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you.
Sing. Y'all to come.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Out this evening.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know, just so appreciative for each opportunity.
Yes.
Just praying that we'll be able to read something from God's word tonight that'll strengthen us, encourage us,
cause us to press on a little closer to Him as we bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just want to say we are grateful for Your precious Word that You've left here for us. And Lord, as we open up the pages tonight, Lord, and renew our minds to these things that You've just laid upon my heart, Lord, it may seem simple, but Lord, may we just rehearse it into our hearts, and may it cause us, Lord, to draw closer to You, Lord, and to watch whatever You would have for us. And Father, we just ask Your blessings upon Your Word, Lord, and just ask that move me out of the way, Lord, that I could just speak those things that You would have spoken, and will never fail to see that You receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, He's so precious. But while you're standing, we'll turn our Bibles over to the book of Matthew 24, if you would. Read a very familiar scripture. And just wanted to share a little thought with you this evening, just something to renew our minds to. These are things you've heard many, many times, but just some things that stuck out to me and just some scriptures as I was thinking about how great is our God, and also looking at, as we see many things taking place throughout the land, just keeping our eye on Him. Yes. Amen. But here in Matthew 24:24, very familiar scripture, but just maybe a little different direction tonight. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. May the Lord add the blessing to His word, and you may be seated. Truly a great warning that went out in the scripture. And, you know, God sent a prophet to bring that scripture to light and to truly give us an understanding today of what's taking place. And as I was listening to the Anointed Ones at the end time and going back through things, as we see many things starting to shape up and take place throughout even the churches throughout the land. And it seems like the movement of the jumping and shouting, trying to get people back into speaking in tongues and running aisles, and all of these things seems to have become the focus for a lot of people. And but God's word is true, and it holds ever. Paths were set straight before us. And you know, as Brother Branham put it in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, just to think about this before we get into reading some scriptures, and this was he was just starting his message in paragraph 28. He said, someone might say to me, do you believe that the anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes, sir, the genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they're false. Now listen close and see what he said. They shall show signs and wonders in so much that it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. They are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. Yes. And I know that sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time and explain it by the word. And that's absolutely, thus saith the Lord, the truth. Yes. And you know, so we've had many messages on this. Our pastor has done a wonderful job of bringing these things back to our remembrance in times past. And so I'm not here to go back into that message and to try to prove to you the prophet did it. He brought it. It's been brought back to our remembrance. But tonight I want you to think in the scriptures and just to keep it fresh in your heart. We see things taking place. We see things happening. There's great healings taking place. There's great wonders being done. Yes. Things are happening. And if you see this going on, and oh my, it does truly sometimes look as like, wow, why isn't this thing over here taking place? But God's word is always first. If you'll remember, Brother Branham said, come to the word and then watch the sign take effect. And how we should truly, as we think about that, and this is kind of what got me meditating on this, is thinking about God and his in this is in the message. The authority on God's word, and I didn't write down yet. It was preached February 17th, 1954. And Brother Branham was, as he was reading this, he'd prayed, and then he started at paragraph 14. He said, we're going to speak just a few moments on the authority of God's word. Every word of God is written and sworn authority, and it's the absolute right of the believer to accept this as the infallible truth because it is God's word. And heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, saith the Lord. It must be fulfilled in its season. And you say many times, Christians, and sometimes even ministering brothers, many times get a little confused on this. And who am I to say who was wrong? For I was with the rest of you and should be sitting listening to the clergy instead of standing in front of them. But my brethren, the word of God. Sometimes people will say the word said this, and let's take it just exactly the way it says. Well, that is right, but the word has to fall into certain ground or it won't produce. I've heard people get saved and say, I'm a Christian now. The Lord said whatsoever I ask in his name, I'd get it. Amen. I'll ask for this. Now, that's not the right ground maybe yet, see. You can't take a cactus and grow it in clay. And you can't put a cactus in rich, real rich soil. It'll die. Cactuses grow in the sand. And you take a pine tree and put it in the sand in Arizona where the cactuses grows. It'll die. Because there's not enough moisture. Yet both of them is in soil, but it must be the right word at the right place, and it will take place. Mm-hmm. And I've prayed for thousands of people just as a routine of praying for people, but yet I don't know what's going to happen till he shows me what's going to happen. And then I have, thus saith the Lord. And then the Lord has brought his word in confirmation, then I know just exactly what he's going to do. Yeah. And how, as we hear Brother Branham put that into context, we can see that flow right back into the scriptures through Jesus' life, as he said, I do nothing except the Father shows me first. Yes. And how today, realizing we're not all prophets, but the Holy Spirit still moves and works in the lives of the people. Mm-hmm. When it is needed and when God is there and they're being led by the Spirit, yes. Brother Branham, as the question was asked Brother Branham, can we all do miracles? He said, sure, when we're directed by God to do them. And think about that, the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how it's people in themselves oftentimes get a little worked up and get a little emotional and get a little excited. And maybe we step across the line of what God really wanted us to do. And it may be true, it may be written right in the Word, but it's got a time, a place, and a season. And as you think about that, this was in the message, Identified Christ of All Ages, paragraph 46. Brother Branham, very familiar. He says, I don't know whether you all have yellow hammers down here or not. He says, we call them Flicker and a Jaybird. They're both about the same size. And you watch a Jaybird flying. If he's in the distance, you watch him. He'll make a beeline when he's flying. But a yellow hammer, he'll go up and down as he flies. See, that's the characteristics of the yellow hammer. And you can tell him by his action. Watch a man use his right or his left hand is characteristic. We've got women today that wants to be men and they dress like them, but they're still, watch them walk, watch what they do. They're still, their characteristic shows they're women, yet just the same. See, because it's just that way. And we'll get to that later, but however, we're on something right now. Remember, you're identified by characteristics, and God is identified by his great characteristic that he cannot change. And he said in Malachi 3:6, I am God, and I change not. Yes. And he absolutely doesn't change. His characteristics are always the same. Amen. What a great consolation that should put into our hearts. As I said, as we look back into God's word and we can truly see the characteristics of God manifested from the Old Testament to the New. Yes. And to see all this take place. And just to... think about it, this is also in Jesus on the authority of the word. And he was speaking about Jesus. It's paragraph 17. He says, if you notice Jesus, he only used those things as God permitted him. Remember last night's lesson, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. And whatsoever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son, and the Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. In other words, what the Word of God made manifest in Christ was what God showed him to do. And any prophet, any spiritual man of any age, any time, was always exactly the same thing. So you can't jump at conclusion. The word says this, I'll accept this and do this. You can't do that. It hasn't fallen right yet. But when the Holy Spirit comes and materializes that and shows you what to do, then you can do it, because it's not you've done. It's the written word of God and the plan of salvation. But we have to be careful how we handle it. And you know, as you think about all the examples that's been left down through time, and we're going to go back in the scriptures and read some of these examples. But I was, if you watch the chain of events that's happening throughout the land today, and you see all this taking place, it's astounding to me that before prayer lines are called, and before things start to seem to go, it's always about emotion and working people up and getting people to a hyped up state before the prayer line's ever called or before everything. And if you look at this last day Pentecost as the Spirit moved on, and I'm talking about here in the very late years of Pentecost and just the false actions and the people pretending and putting on and trying to mimic what the Holy Spirit did in an original state.
Yes, yeah.
And how today many people have turned their attention to focusing to what they can see, what they think the Holy Spirit does today, instead of looking back at God's Word and watching the leadership of that Holy Spirit on men of God that was moved by the Holy Spirit to do the things they done. And how it ought to always catch our attention. Many things, Brother Branham said, but always back to the Word. And to look at what's come, look what's been spoken. And if you would, I'd like to turn over to First Kings, if you want to read with me. We've read this a couple different times, but it just stood out to me. 1 Kings 18 chapter, and thinking of this. And just remembering to always weigh it in the Word. It's always there. We've been given an absolute to go by, to weigh up, and to see things. We've seen our God in action, and He reveals Himself in simplicity and shows forth His characteristics, and it's laying here for all to see if we'll but open our hearts to Him and say, Lord, I want to see You manifested in every action. But here in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we'll start here about the 20th verse, and realizing this is where Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, and we'll just pick up at the 20th verse to save some time. But it says, so Ahab went unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, even I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves. Cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. I will dress the other bullock, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And remember, God had already told Elijah what to do.
Yeah.
The word had already came to him. He knew. He was just following directions. But God had already revealed to him how it was going to take place.
Yeah.
So you notice that coming to him, he's moving in obedience to the word that already came.
Yes.
And Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, choose one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning, evening until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or as he is in a journey, or preadventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. All in vain.
Yeah.
Just think of what they were doing at this point in time. But look at the, you know, in their own mind, they thought they were right. They thought they had the right actions. They were going after it as hard as they could go. But God's word had already come. They had already stepped across it a long time ago. But watch how God, through Elijah, though they're doing all this that's taking place, all this commotion's going on, and Elijah's just standing back watching. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribe of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, watch, just listen how simple. As we'll get to another scripture in a moment. Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is God. Just want you to think, Elijah didn't run around that altar 5 or 6 times screaming and shouting. No, he walked up there with the authority of the word, knowing. He wasn't going on his own. He wasn't there with his own idea or his own opinion. But God had told him, and the word had went forth, and he followed in obedience, and he knew. That watch the prayer, Lord, that your word may be fulfilled. And you watch what took place. What a time and an effort as you think about it. Turn with me over to, we'll jump over here first. Let's go to John, the 11th chapter. John 11. As we just to catch a few examples of our God in action and think of how he works. Oh my, you know, it's just amazing to see what God has done. And he's left all these examples. Now, we went from one book way back here all the way over to John. There's a lot of examples in between. But there's just to catch a couple. But here is Jesus in the 11th chapter of John in the 33rd verse. Just to save a little time. And this is where they had called him Lazarus had died. And we'll just pick up about 32nd verse. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept, and then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. But Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said, it is that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. I want you to just notice the power and the authority that each time the word of God went forth, it was just quiet and in stillness. And you know, as I was thinking about this, there's many times that the Spirit comes in like a flood. And a great time of worshiping and praising God and all manner of things may happen. He's sovereign. He does things how he wishes. But I want you to, as you think about that, and as we, let's just turn back over here to Matthew, the 8th chapter. I mentioned this last service, but we didn't read it. But let's turn back over here to Matthew 8. And how the authority of God's word, when God speaks to your heart, every word in this Bible is laying here. But God, the Holy Spirit, revealed to Elijah. God spoke to him and told him exactly what to do. And once he knew exactly where to go, look at the authority of the word of God standing there boldly and knowing God was going to fulfill that promise. Jesus there at the tomb, he knew that promise. He knew when he said, come forth, Lazarus was going to come forth from that grave. Even here, at this example here, this is in Matthew 8, just to catch all that was happening in this chapter, an expression of Jesus. And we'll start at the first verse. He said, and when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. No, just how simple. Think about the examples of our prophet in this last day. The testimonies that went forth. You know, I think it was Dawson Riley that was talking in his testimony of, I think it was a wart or something that was on his hand. And it was bugging him. And it wasn't that big of a thing, but the prophet just reached over and touched it. And it was gone. Was that Brother Branham? No, that was God expressing himself to an individual, showing that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look how simple and how in tune things happen. You know, I think of look at the many testimonies of the dog that he prayed for. He just reached down and put his hand on his back. Think of the old mother possum that he prayed for and it was healed. These examples from all the way to back here at Moses at the Red Sea. Wasn't a great big ceremony. Wasn't a jumping around, but just stand still and see. God had revealed to him they were going through that sea. And he spoke the word with boldness, the word first, and watch it, the promise, take place right behind it. Is it good? He says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, thy servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority. And having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Think about it. God's word first. It had to be fulfilled. And Jesus, how many times he showed us that he just didn't do those things because he could. But he waited for the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Father to give him permission to be able to do those things. That same Spirit is still alive and real today and to manifest through people. And how, as you see, so many people seem to have forgotten. They've got into God's Word says this, we can do this and we can do that and we can go here and we can go there. But it's got to be with the leadership of the Holy Spirit all the way. Everything's got to be right in tune with God. And what God says will be. Oh, my, and how it'll come to pass. But think about it. Let's turn over to Acts real quick, the 16th chapter. And there's many examples in Acts, but I just thought we'd catch this one. We've read it many times and heard it many times. In Acts, the 16th chapter and the 16th verse. And it, you know, it's a lot of things I may be reading, but just remember, God's word has to always be first and foremost. Yes. And you can't step around it, and you can't step over top of it, and you can't do away with it. It's going to be just exactly as he said it would. But in Acts 16, 16 to 18, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." And so we read this scripture, and there's only three little verses. And we realize this takes place. And if you just read that, it would, boy, you'd think, boy, anything that comes against me, I've got a right. But if you notice that little verse, it was written in there for a purpose. That it came to pass, she followed Paul, and it says, for many days. There's a reason God had that put in there. And then there's a reason that down the road there come a prophet along in this age. And he picked that scripture up. And in paragraph 99 of the message, a prisoner, he was talking about this scripture. And think of how he said it about Paul. He said, but Paul was correctly a prisoner, and he wasn't thinking, making any wrong statement. He was trained by the Holy Ghost again to wait on the word. He had been trained one way, but God had trained him another way, and he was trained by the Holy Spirit to wait upon the Lord no matter what his ambitions was. And I'm hoping, and I'm going to help by the Holy Spirit show you something, see, and let's just take an instance. One day, Paul and Silas coming down the street in a certain city, they were holding a revival, and a little demon-possessed girl kept following, crying out after him. And no doubt but what Paul knew that he had the authority as an apostle to rebuke that evil spirit out of that woman. But did you notice he waited day after day until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to him, this is the hour. Amen. Think about Jesus. Didn't he know Lazarus had died? Yeah. How many days did he tarry? What was he waiting on? He was waiting on the leading of the Holy Spirit for the time to be and the place to be there. It wasn't just because he could. It wasn't because of who he was. He knew who he was. He knew he had authority. But oh, the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the timing of God's great timepiece has to be right in order for every situation. He says, but he waited day after day until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to him, this is the hour. And then he said, thou Spirit, come out of her. He knowed to wait on the Lord. And there is where many people today bring a reproach upon the word. They go out with an ambition. How many revivals has been left flat because of a thing like that? Because the evangelists don't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. Some of them say, come over here. And they go right now because the association said, go, and the Holy Spirit would say something different. Yet the ambition of a man to become to the state presbyter or take another, some elder, some bishop or something, would pull him. You must go, and yet he knows better. Yeah. The Holy Spirit saying, go here. See, he's yoked to his organization. He's a prisoner to that organization. But if he's yoked to Christ, he's led by the Holy Ghost. He's yoked, a prisoner. Yeah. Don't make any difference what anything else says. It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He hears only the voice of God, and he speaks only when it comes out, or he says nothing. And somebody say, oh, Brother Jones or Brother Roberts or some of these great men in our land today like Tommy Hicks or Oral Roberts or Brother Tommy Osborne, some of these great evangelists, somebody would say, come over here, Tommy, you're a great man of God. And I've got an uncle that's laying over here that's all bound and he's sick. I want you to come over. I believe you have the strength to heal him, see? And maybe the Holy Spirit would say to him, not now. But yet, to the friendship of that man, he's duty-bound to go with him. If he don't, he becomes an enemy to that man. And that man say, well, he went to so-and-so, healed that child. Or that boy, I know he did, and I've been his friend for years, seeing he wouldn't come to my place. But if he's constrained by the Holy Spirit not to go, he better not go. If he's yoked to God, his friend, his love, but he better be led by the Holy Spirit to go there, because it won't do any good anyhow. And I have, listen, Brother Branham is great wisdom, and as you go back through and look at the things that happened, he said, I've experienced that so many times. But Paul just waited for the Spirit to tell him what to do. Wait on the Spirit. He said he stood one night preaching and walked out there. He seen a crippled man. And all at once the Spirit spoke to him and he said, I perceive. The same way he perceived they was going to be wrecked upon an island. See, I perceive that you have faith to be healed. Stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ made you well. There you are. He was yoked. He might have held a week's revival there and nothing had happened. But yet he waited for the Holy Spirit to say, and he was yoked to that appeal. And as we see the examples that's been left and see God's timing. And Brother Branham, God speaking through him, told us that today we may not be a prophet, but faith without a vision will produce the same results in God's precious word if God reveals it to us. By his stripes I'm healed. It's laying there. Think about it. Yes, it's right there, and we can quote it as easy as we wish. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't dip it into our hearts with a revelation, with a revealing that this is the time, this is the place, and this is the time that it's needed in your life as an individual, it won't take place. It don't matter who you call to pray for you. It don't matter how many people gather you around. But it's got to be in God's time and God's position. And as individuals before God, as we may have a need in our life of anything, whether it be physical, financial, whatever, do we wait on God? Do we truly take our need before him and truly pray, Lord, is this for me? Is this the time? Is this the place? Lord, do I lay before him, or do I just, well, Lord, you said by my stripes I'm healed. I'm just claiming that. I'm just going to move on. We never give God an opportunity to lead us and to show us what he's got for us and to really take it and to give him an opportunity to take our life and use it for his glory. That his testimony may go forth showing that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
All these great men, these men of old, these prophets, we can see the Holy Spirit leading them. We see God working through them. But today it's an individual. Is he working in your life as an individual? Not to go out and do great signs and wonders and show all this here, but God's word's laying here to be fulfilled in each one of us. The promises are laying here. And they are not void. They are of none effect. They are laying there full. But do we approach them with, Lord, would this be your will? That I would be healed. I might receive this thing to your glory. Whatever it might be, that through it you would be praised and worshiped. It would show forth your glory and your majesty of what you've done. Each one of these events that took place, every one of these men, it wasn't them getting the glory, but it was God being magnified through them. And they made sure to push that back out. But as you look around today, you see so many, somebody, the Lord heals them or does something through their ministry, and oh, now they're all puffed up, and they're a mighty man of God, and they're this, and they're that. And people, well, you know, I got healed, I got faith, and I got this, but where's God's glory at? Where's it showing forth to him that, oh, this happened? Yes, God is the great healer. He is the great I am. And all the things that are taking place, and look at all the words that gets walked over top of. But they want to focus on just so many little things. But God has proven through his word time and time again. Think of when Brother Branham, you know, I think of how every time he got ready, no matter what the sermon was, and you go back and listen to the tapes, when he got ready to start a healing service or to go into prayer for people, he always got it real quiet. He always said, be real reverent. Didn't want a bunch of noise. He didn't want a bunch of carrying on. Yes, as the Holy Spirit began to touch people after they began to being prayed for, and then the Holy Spirit began to move, yes, the worshiping began, and the noise may have climbed, but at the time, look at the calmness, inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the service and to do the work that was needed for the time to show himself. But oh my, sometimes when you look today, it's people's lost the reverence of coming in underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can even do that as we come in before service. Do we come in with a true reverence in our heart of realizing as we come in and sit down here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit with a cry in our heart, Lord, I've come tonight to meet with you. I just didn't come as a tradition to fulfill that I need to go to church. I just didn't come here tonight, Lord, just to maybe by some chance something will be said that will help me, or maybe I'll get a little excited. But no, I come in with a love in my heart praying, Lord, what do you have for me this evening? Sitting here underneath the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and just feel him melt your heart down. And to get prepared as we begin to sing, then it's a love coming from the inside out.
Yes.
A worship back to him, not just all we got is, but look at it. If you get in the spirit with the composer, look how much sweeter it becomes.
Yes.
And each one of these examples, as I said, as you look back through the Bible and see the authority of God's word go forth, think about it. God's word has spoken, and you watch as it comes forth, and you can move with that assurance in your heart that that is the word of the Lord. I'm following right in tune in obedience to what God said, and leave it up to him what he will do. But oh my, if you're standing in the right position, how sweet it is to see what he can do for us. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. Hallelujah. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I'll read this. This is in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, and as he was speaking, and many things in there. And if you haven't listened to it in a long time, I encourage you to go back, because you're probably going to see a lot more things happen in the future that's really going to catch the attention of a lot of people. Satan is in full force trying to use his ministry and go about things, and how great is our God that he uncovered it and wrote it out how many years ago to show us what was going to happen at the end time. And even in that message, how many times Brother Branham said it'll be at the end time that this is going to happen. Right at the end. But oh my, we've by God's grace, he showed his light around us, and may we truly not be a people. But as he put it in this context, let me see here. That's the right quote I had laid out. Amen. Yes, he was. I don't think this is the right quote. I must have laid the other page aside. But he was just saying to always be mindful of the word. And as he was talking, as he was typing Moses against Balaam. And Micah against the prophets at the time. And he said, how could they tell which one was right? Because Moses could look back at what the word had said. Micah could look back. Think of that too. It's just so great of how God, in his great wisdom, has fortified his little bride. Is it what we have in ourselves? No, but it's by his mercy and grace. He sent a prophet that brought all these loose ends and laid it out for us. It left us a church age book, left us these precious messages that are laying here before us, that we don't have to wander in darkness. We don't have to stumble along and be confused by the things that are taking place around us. But we can go back and look at how our God has worked and what his characteristics was in every situation. And the examples are laying abundantly before us to know exactly where it's going and how it's working. And may we truly give God the glory, and may we truly be a people that are ever ready to let him do what he wants to do.
Yes.
And you know, it's not, God can do wonderful things. He can do mighty things. And the Holy Spirit might make you speak in tongues. It might make you dance in the Spirit. He can do all those things. Those things are, we've seen it work in the book of Acts. Look at all that God can do. But God's got a time and place for everything. And nothing will be done out of order if it's God. And nothing will be done in sheer confusion. He is not the author of confusion. But oh my, how good it is to be able to look into God's word and know that we serve a God that knows the end, the beginning from the end. And he's left us all these examples laying here. And to know that all he had to do when he was in that ship with Peter was just peace, winds, be still. And everything calmed right down. Oh, think about how great he is, and how, with the authority of the precious word as it goes forth, you don't have to get all worked up. Not if you know where you're standing. You watch God just ever so mindful. It may happen so smooth and so soft you may not even see it. God may do something for someone and it won't even be shouted. It won't even be pushed out till that person says, "Let me tell you what God did for me." God works however he wants to bring glory to his name. But people have got in their mind how they think it has to be because of things they see. The way things have been done, human beings and pattern after Hollywood, as Brother Branham said, they've seen it. As we've said, we've seen all of this take place and more and more and more. They do away with the spiritual singing in the church. They take these things away from God's word. They take away the worship from God. They take these things down. They try to suppress all that God has, but the doors and the windows of heaven are open and the blessings are laying there if we'll but get in tune with the Holy Spirit and let him have his way. Whatever he wants, it don't matter, but don't let us draw our conclusion down. It has to be exactly just like this and it can't be like that. No, God does what he will, but it won't be out of line with the precious word that he's left for us. Amen. He will keep it right in tune with the authority of his precious word. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I pray you can take a little something from it. I feel like there's so much that you just feel like you can't hardly catch all the pieces to get it in. But oh my, I'm so glad we serve a living God. He is ever mindful. And I know that what I have need of, he will provide. And oh, he is an ever-present help in the time of need. Oh, may we truly call upon him, for he is our strength. He's everything. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. He's everything to me. Amen.
He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me.
He's my father.
Amen.
My sister and my brother.
He's
everything. Amen. He ought to be. Praise his name. I couldn't help but to think about what Brother Branham said. I've tried to get you away from laying on hands. Yeah. Think of that. He said the Gentile way was speak the word. Amen. Oh my. Nothing wrong with laying on hands. There's times for that too. But you see, there's the thing that's, as Brother Timothy was saying, it's, you can see that thing going throughout the land. Just trying to get the people all excited, beating the instruments, getting them all whipped up, and then start praying for people and shaking them and all that, you know. But if you know God's revealed it to you, just speak the word. Just say, "Lord, this is what you said. I accept it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And there it is. Oh my. Seen it happen many times. Amen. God is real. I love him with all my heart, so we appreciate the word tonight. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this little service, we ask that you would bless each one of us now and go with us and keep us safe, Lord, as we make our travels to our homes. And Father, again, we just pray that in each one, as we gather Sunday, if you should tarry, if it be your will, Lord, we come back hungering again for the word of God and just open our hearts to what you have for us. We appreciate your many blessings you've given us this day, and Lord, even this week already. We're just so appreciative of all of it now. So just bless each one. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his name. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. May God bless you. You're all dismissed.